Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Madness. 2020. Due to the rapid rate of infection, we can no longer continue to play. Some kind of
madness. What a year.
We have made the unprecedented decision to suspend the 2020 season.
Eventually, we got it back on track. And now, 8 months since the first footy was kicked, the big dance has finally arrived.
What a wonderful moment.
What a blockbuster.
The Melbourne Storm. This mighty team, this model of consistency, this model of success to take on the Penrith Panthers for just the fourth time in their 54-year history. They're off to the grand final.
And let me tell you about the two men that matter most in this year's decider.
Smith kicks straight over the head. Oh, 3 minutes gone. I think we've got a 40-20.
There's only one Cameron Smith.
Cameron Wayne Smith, the kid from Logan.
The great thing about this side, we're a tough bunch, we're pretty resilient.
Packed his bags and headed south to AFL town. I don't think anyone could have predicted the career this kid would have.
Cameron Smith puts it right over.
I'm the man.
Smith is the Melbourne Storm, and tonight he has a chance to carry his team to premiership glory once again.
The Melbourne Storm, their greatness continues.
To all the Cam Smith haters, sit down, shut up, and listen to this. 429 NRL games, the most of all time. Two Dally M's, a golden boot, 8 straight Origin Series wins, a couple of premierships thrown in. Oh, and yeah, and throw in 2 World Cup winners' medals for good measure. He is the man. But there's a young Panther on the prowl who wants to take Smith's crown.
Cleary from 20. He got it.
Nathan Cleary, the coach's kid.
We all know what we put our hands up for.
He's already won a Dally M Halfback of the Year, a couple of Origin Series, and he plays his 100th first grade game this Sunday night. And yeah, he's only 22.
On to Cleary. Goodbye.
Thing he wants more than anything is to lead his fearless Panthers side to their first premiership in 17 years.
What about that for Nathan Cleary?
Now, Cleary's story is a little different from Cam's. He was destined to be rugby league's next superstar, the million-dollar teen. Who wants to be the man?
Cleary!
Who's it gonna be? The Melbourne Storm? The Penrith Panthers? The Master? Versus the Apprentice? It's the 2020 NRL Premiership Grand Final for our great mates at Ream and Maccas, live from Sydney's ANZ Stadium. Triple M rocks the Grand Final. Bring it on!
Yes, indeed, MG, just setting the scene. What a weekend. It's the one we've all been waiting for, one some of us expected not to even arrive, given the way this season began in 2020. But here we are. The weekend looks set for sensation. The two best teams all year meet up in the grand final. How exciting and how great to have the regular team with us, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler and Nathan Brown. Welcome, team. How are we feeling just 24 hours out, Em?
I'm pumped.
Yep.
It's been a busy week. There's been lots on. Obviously, given the storm up in Queensland, I've just pretty much been on Panthers watch and there's been lots happening. They've had a big media day. There was a grand final luncheon yesterday with some legends. They did a fan day on Tuesday, which is a bit different this year. Obviously, you can't get the photos and autographs, but at least we had about, I think, 1,200 fans there to at least watch the Panthers train. So, yeah, there's a real buzz about town. I've been out and about, you know, getting some fans. Had a trip to MG's gym.
Oh, great.
MG Active as well. Some of his members surprised him and gave it a bit of a facelift and decorated it with all Panthers colours. So it's been great. I'm totally on the Panthers bandwagon right now.
Excellent. Brownie, how are you feeling? We're going to get to grand final stories in a moment in a little while after the first break. But you've been involved in plenty as a player and a coach. You excited this weekend? Get that feeling back?
Yeah, look, it's nothing like being involved yourself or your club. In Gerds' case, his club's Penrith, you know, so I'm sure he feels a lot more involved this week than what he would if Penrith weren't playing. But for me personally, not sort of working with the club, but I always have a soft spot for Melbourne Storm because when I first come back from England, they gave me a job. So I always, you know, anyone that I've worked for or played for, if you like to put it like that, I always have, will always lean towards those clubs. Personally, I think the Storm will win. I thought the Storm would win 3 or 4 months ago, and I've seen nothing that's going to change my mind, even though Penrith have had an outstanding season.
He's laid the cards down there, Brown has. Led with the right bower, Tony, didn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's been a great week, Tony, you know, to field lots of calls from people that went through that that week with you back in, you know, 17 years ago. It's been a lot of fun. And I've been lucky enough to be asked by a lot of different organisations to be involved in the lead up to the week and done some stuff out at ANZ Stadium and at the Harbour Bridge the other day and spoken to a lot of different networks and been able to retell a lot of different stories and emotions that we went through during that period. So I've thoroughly...
Some factual, some not so.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, I've thoroughly enjoyed the week. I don't feel nervous at all. I'm really excited about tomorrow, so I can't wait.
All right, here's a question without notice. Just on the back of what we heard from MG there, talking about Cameron Smith. If Cameron Smith, and I know it's something that he wants, and who knows if he's retiring, I think it's most likely that tomorrow night will be the last time we see him run around in the NRL. May not be, but that's just my feeling of from what we saw last weekend. If he is to collect the Clive Churchill medal, the honour that he has so far missed out on, what do you think the reaction is going to be? Will people do what should happen? He should get as the a recognition of all that he has achieved. Thunderous applause from the crowd at ANZ Stadium, who one imagines will be 99% Panthers fans. Is that what we're expecting and certainly is what we're hoping for?
I think he'd deserve it if that's what he got, but I'd be surprised if everyone's going to clap Cameron Smith. He's obviously probably taken over the mantle from Molly Lewis, hadn't he, as the person that New South Wales probably like to hate the most. Mm-hmm. And generally it's a case, is it because they're so good or everyone's jealous or, but I don't think he's earned the right to be disliked. That's for sure. He has his off-field record's impeccable and his on-field record's impeccable and he's always up for interviews with the media. He's always up for doing things away from the field to help people. But the fact he's been so good makes people dislike him, I suppose.
Yeah, I agree. I think he does deserve it, but I don't think he'll get what he does deserve just because, yeah, I think... A lot of people like to, successful athletes or just successful people in general. I think we sometimes in Australia like to bring those people down and particularly given he's from Queensland, I think there'll be a fair few boos. But gee, wouldn't that, I mean, as a journalist, I think that's just the perfect story, isn't it? I mean, if he gets the Clive Churchill, they end on a premiership, there's no better way to end. But, I mean, as he said multiple times, he hasn't had that feeling yet where he knows that it's time, so who knows. But I've loved seeing him so relaxed during the week. Even at their big media conference, actually, all the journos have their microphones and the print journos have their iPhones and they get the audio. And even during one of them, someone's iPhone rang and Cam Smith picked up someone's phone and answered.
Really?
It was Scott Bailey from AAP. He said, Scotty, just call back, mate. And everyone was just in stitches. And that's the best play that's ever played the game, just relax and answering a journo's phone. So, yeah, he's good quality. So he's been really good to have around this week.
Is he the best player to ever play the game? That's something that Nathan Brown will get to in Coach's Corner a little bit later on. We've got so much ahead of us in the show. We are going to speak to a couple of absolute legends from the clubs that are featured in the grand final tomorrow. I'm not going to speak to Glenn Lazarus, who has done it for a couple of clubs, let's be honest, one of the absolute greats. And Royce Simmons, who, like you, Gerds, he's been fairly busy this week, just chatting about his grand final victory.
You know they named a bar after him out at Penrith's Leagues Club, don't you?
Is that after?
The Royce, and I think they actually gave him a tab as well that I think he's been put into good use for the last couple of months. So it'll be interesting to see how Royce is feeling.
I bet it will be. We'll catch up with Royce Simmons a little bit later on. Next, though, those grand final week stories from a couple of gents right here who have been there, done that. It's a Saturday scrum. Thanks to King G. It's Triple M rocks the footy. It is grand final weekend. Cam Smith, according to M, very, very relaxed across this entire week, as he should be. He's been there plenty of times. The Storm have been there plenty of times. What is this, 4 grand finals in 5 years? Something absolutely ridiculous. Just want to get some sense from you guys about what those boys are going through and have been going through this week. Brownie, you've played in 3 grand finals. In 93, you came on off the bench. 96, and then again in 99, the game that I still believe that the Dragons won. But let's not go there. In terms of preparation, obviously with 93, you're coming off the bench. You're a young kid, first time that experience. How was that for you?
Oh, it was a great experience because it was only... 18 months before that, I was watching Alfie Langer and Kevvy Walters and all these blokes not only play for the Broncos, but watch them on TV playing for Queensland or travelling up to Lang Park to watch Origin games. So the excitement, that my first year when I was on the bench that year was, you know, those days were great for many reasons, because it was a great way to get introduced to first grade when you're only 18, 19-year-old kid, because the coach had plenty of people on the bench. So there was two guys that had generally played reserve grade or under 21s, and then, two guys that were fresh, and they'd get two blokes, or sorry, any number of blokes, and six, eight blokes from the under 23s or under 21s or reserve grade that played half a game. So on that occasion there was, I'm not sure how many of us were on the bench, but there was two freshies, and probably, we were all fresh because we didn't play the game before it, but you know, there could have been any number of, I can't remember, there were seven, eight, nine blokes on the bench, and we all knew that two were certainly going to get a run, and then the rest of us were sort of, you didn't actually know if you were going to go on. So when the call comes down to go on, it's certainly a great feeling, certainly a nervy one too, and you're a kid and you're going out to play against the such great players as the Broncos boys too, you know. And we unfortunately, I think we lost that one 14-6, you know. But yeah,
it was a bad start from memory. Jason Stevens might have been in the first minute, breaks his thumb, might have been compound.
Second tackle.
Remember him saying he was coming off, and Mark Coyne said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I think I'm going to the hospital."
Certainly are. And he was, even though he's only 19, Steve-O, he was actually the enforcer of the four pack. You know, he was our big man, and obviously, who we're talking to later, the other opposition had Lazo, who really struggled to win grand finals, didn't he? Winning five at three separate clubs. So,
yes, exactly.
So that was obviously a disaster. But yeah, the big thing with the grand final, which Gerds will appreciate, is you can be out there and then all of a sudden you look up and 30 or 40 minutes is nearly gone, and it doesn't even feel like you've been out there. And that's the difference, I suppose, with handling the day well, I suppose, or having experience at it. And that's probably a big challenge for the young Panthers players to actually get out there and be involved in the game from the start and not risk all of a sudden looking up and the scoreboard says 12 or 14-0 and 40 minutes are already gone, you know, because it goes quick, doesn't it, Gerds? It's an amazing feeling.
Everyone's, generally at grand final day, everyone's at their best. So the preparation I found and the advice we got was your preparation needs to be done by the prelim final, because the amount of fanfare that you go through on grand final week, essentially there's nothing that you really can work on from the week before. So if you really haven't performed that well in the prelim final and there's things you need to fix up, don't really expect to get it done, because with the amount of people you get, you know, sort of around, and all the commitments that you need to do as a team throughout different organisations with grand final breakfasts. And I think the fact that all that stuff wasn't required this year is probably going to help Penrith just a little bit more. But I definitely agree with Brandon at the point. It's a similar speed to an Origin, where sometimes you get out there in your first one or two and you think to yourself, how the hell am I ever going to catch the tempo of this game? I'm one or two steps behind. And that's a real concern, and that happens quite. And that's why you see sometimes, you know, the playmakers, when you get a couple of raw playmakers coming into the Origin arena for the first time, and you'll see a lot of, you know, ex-Origin players say, "Oh, I'm just worried that they're not going to, you know, keep up with the tempo of the game," and they get caught in the headlights, and all of a sudden you're 12 or 18 points down, the game's over.
In the Storm's last grand final against the Roosters, that was a bit of a case. Here's the Storm with all that experience, they're in their third grand final in a row. And for whatever reason, I remember after the game, I was really interested to see what Bellyache said, and they were at a loss to realise how obviously the Roosters were so dominant in that first sort of 15 or 20 period, which if that happens in a grand final, generally it's curtains, isn't it? You know, and it, you know, even experienced players experienced sides, it can happen to, but you know, the excitement of the week for all players, in particular young players, when you've grown up your whole life watching grand final day and praying to be a part of it, the excitement is outstanding. And even though losing's devastating, you'd never forget the lead up, the week leading up, and you never forget actually running out on the field. You know, you don't forget the heartbreak at the end either, but there is a lot of excitement in it.
There's some things you do forget, Gerds. Do you remember who sang the national anthem in 2003?
No, in your game,
your grand final, you're out that Troy Cassidy was.
But you're just in a totally different headspace, Tane. You're not out there. You know, I remember once we got out there, we had a really young team, so it was. I remember, you know, I did a lot of through that whole final series with Scotty Sattler, who was a guy similar to my age, and we went through a lot of different processes with the younger guys, you know, during the periods through the week. And then especially, you know, when we first get on the field, we try and settle the boys down a little bit and make sure everyone's mind we're on the job. Because you can get out there and there's 80,000 people and you see the, some of the young guys looking around thinking, what the hell am I doing here? You know, and that's the last thing you want, you know. So it was all about going around to these young guys, making sure that they, you know, had their heads about them, knew what their role was, and then sort of not too worried looking about the entertainment at that point, Tone. It was, you know, then having a look around, seeing, you know, the bench and having a look and you knew where your family were and giving them a little nod and then, you know, getting ready to go. So you're in a totally, it's hard to explain the headspace you get into, but anyone watching, when you're watching the grand final and you see the cameras go in close on the guys when they're just run on the field, just have a look at their eyes. It'll give you an indication of where they're at because it's, yeah, it gives you goosebumps when you talk about it because it's hard to explain, but you're so in the moment, you're so present. There's lots of things going on around you, but you know you're just focused on the one goal.
So you want to see them pumped or you want to see them relaxed, and is it a bit of?
It's what works for each individual. Yeah. You can't fake what you like, and you don't want to try and not be who you are. And nerves aren't a bad thing. I think some people. I remember Gordy Teller said to me, if Alfie Langer spewed twice before the game, he's guaranteed he was going to get me into the match, pretty much. You know? So everyone's different, and whilst Cameron Smith's very, very calm, Dale Finucane may be one of them really super-focused people, and you've got to be what works for you regardless of the occasion, I believe.
And when, obviously, 96, the Dragons, and then 99, I mean, as you play, you know, go into another grand final and you haven't won one, what was the feeling like then? Was it different? Was there suddenly a pressure, I really, really want this one?
Well, my first grand final at Saints in 93, I'd come down from the bush from McLean 2 years previous where, you know, generally I played in grand finals with my local team at McLean, and so I'd come down off the back of a number of grand finals and then played in the under-21s grand final in 92. We got beat 15-14. Josh White, the little shit, he'd probably be up there listening somewhere. He kicked a field goal to beat us. So we got beat. Steve Mooks played in that one, Steve Carney. And he played in the Melbourne Storm one as well. I've been kindly reminded over at New Zealand about that over the past 12 months. So when I participated in the 93 grand final, I just thought, this just must be what happens. Yeah, you just, doesn't matter where you go, you just keep playing in grand finals. Yeah. And you quickly learn it. At the elite level, it's actually not like that unless you're probably Norm Praven or Cameron Smith or someone who keeps playing in them. And so the next year in 94, we actually had a really bad year, didn't make the playoffs. And then in 95, we got beat by the Dogs 11-8 in the semi-final. We went on to win the grand final, and then 96, we made it again. So it was sort of like, you know, my appreciation level the second time round was far, far greater, actually understanding how much work goes into it and how a lot of players who are far better than me can play their whole career and not even get to actually run out on grand final day, you know. So you start to actually learn more and appreciate actually the fact that you get there and obviously how you don't want to miss the opportunity.
Yeah. So as the biggest game, Gerds, does it become the biggest celebration once you've won?
Yeah, well, everyone does it differently, Tony, but we certainly.
Because I've seen some images of you this week that I just didn't relate to.
I thought he might have come in like that today. I'll be like that on Monday with any luck. it is. And for us, it was, you know, the whole, the M4 driving back from Homebush was just, you know, lined with cars and then people that, and I think they were just lined up to get into the car park of Panthers. And then you got around to Mulgoa Road and they were just on both sides of the road there as well. And by the time we walked into the club, I mean, you could not move. It was ridiculous. So for us and you know, that club in general and that community who had success 12 years earlier, then waited, have now waited another 17 years. It's not like they're there every year, Tone. So when they get there, they savour the moment. Rugby league means a lot to that little community out there. And so it was about sharing the moment with those guys that had waited so long. And, yeah, it was all about that. You know, we sort of went up to a room upstairs, had something to eat, spent about an hour with family and friends. So by this time it's about 1 o'clock because you don't get back to out of the rooms until, you know, midnight. And then from 1 o'clock, we just went out into the club with all the fans and the members and just partied with them for a couple of days.
For those fans getting to party with you, that would be close to the best moment. I mean, other than things like probably getting married and everything, but one of the best moments of their lives that they actually get to share it with you.
You can get married plenty of times.
But I mean, the fact that being at a game is good, but if you know, you're their idols and they're getting to have a beer with you.
We took over the bar. So there used to be this nightclub upstairs and the bar's always changed there at Panther. I think it's a Chinese restaurant these days. But there used to be a bar up there and there's about four of us just got behind the bar and just started, you know, serving the drinks and we just took over the whole club.
Any
and
dancing on the bar?
There was all sorts of things going on. Yeah. Yeah, it was a great couple of days.
Much of which you don't recall. We have plenty more to come. We are going to speak to Glenn Lazarus very shortly. As I said, Roy Simmons will also join us next. So Emma Lawrence did catch up with the Cleary family. We'll go there next on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Nathan Brown, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdle, Tony Squires with you. Always enjoy watching what you come up with on Channel 10M. The Cleary family obviously flying high this year. Grand final tomorrow night, playing sensational football. Ivan Cleary named Coach of the Year. Nathan so close to getting that Dally M medal. So everything going tickety-boo. It hasn't always been the case. Last year there were some dark times for them, certainly in the beginning of that season. And you caught up with the family, M. I just wanted everybody to have a listen to this when we're talking about those early difficult stages from last season.
I was the front and centre for that. And then, you know, how good a story is that when you get the sun in as well and it becomes even bigger story. It's like a car crash, you know. So, you know, I felt burdened that Nathan's form was dipping probably as well because of it. And so it's like, what are we doing?
You know, what have we done? Have we made the right decision? Like, I knew, you know, that Ivan always wanted to coach Nat. You know, at one stage I thought he just wanted to throw it in. Like, I remember the day and he was really struggling, and I think he did. He lost his confidence. And in the end, I just had to get off social media. I wouldn't watch the news. I just couldn't, because it made me so upset.
You know, it definitely hurt her probably more than it hurt anyone else. And she was taking it pretty tough. But, you know, Mum's the absolute rock of our family.
That was last year.
Yes. What a turnaround.
Yeah.
I mean, everything has gone so right for them this year. Only one loss all season. As you said, Nathan playing so well. But I think it makes it all the more special knowing just how tough it was for them last year. Not only Ivan going across to coach Nathan at Penrith, they got hammered, the family got hammered about that, but then the fact that they weren't playing well at one stage. I think they'd lost 8 of the first 10 games. They were bottom of the ladder at one stage. So there was so much criticism and it really took a toll, you know, on the family. And I think everyone forgets at the end of the day, they're people as well. They're human. So, and even though I was saying it was tough on their family and their eldest daughter, Indy, as well. You know, people saying horrible things on social media about your brother or your dad, and it's awful. And, you know, people being cowards, you know, behind an account on social media and saying that type of thing. So, yeah, I think it's special for the family, but I think everything they went through, it just makes it all the more special. And Beck said that she, when she saw that, there's a really nice image from last week after the game where they were hugging each other, and she said she was just in tears. And when she saw that image on the Harbour Bridge of the two of them, she just said, I was in tears because I thought, well, everything we went through, it was worth it. This is why we did it. It's for moments like that. So
she's yet to get a hug, though, from Nathan, isn't she? Because of
yes,
the,
because
COVID
of the bubble. It's strange. Yeah. So obviously because Nathan doesn't live with them, so she's not allowed to go and see them. But yeah, they are such a beautiful family. And I got to know them well, obviously, when Ivan was at the Tigers. But, yeah, Beck is such a lovely lady. All of their kids are beautiful, Indy, Malaya and Jet as well. So they're a really nice family. So, I'm so happy for them that after everything they went through that finally they get to experience, you know, these good times together, and certainly was all worth it for them.
Such a massive thing, isn't it? The whole idea of coaching your son, and that's been talked about for the past couple of years. I saw that John and Martin Lang, of course, who were at Penrith and won a premiership together, that John Lang saying he didn't necessarily want to coach his son. He just thought it was better than the other option, which is coaching against his son.
Mm. Yeah, I think in all cases, you've got to look at them, you know, they're different. And if you look at Nathan and Ivan, Nathan was already nailed on first grade halfback at Penrith. He was already a player that everyone said was going to play Origin. So it wasn't like Ivan had to introduce him as a kid to first grade. So I feel the timing was good for Ivan and the family, because it wasn't like he was putting his son in first grade at 18 because he's the dad. He was already in first grade for 3 years. And then Ivan got there to coach him when he was sort of already done a bit of grounding under a different coach. So I think that circumstance is far better than the player or the father actually introducing his son to first grade, because he's already proved a bit of a point. Now, you look at young Kyle Flanagan, and I spoke about here a couple of weeks ago, like him going to the Roosters and playing first grade for the Roosters and a little bit of first grade at the Sharks when his dad wasn't the coach. Again, if they end up teaming up and playing together, Kyle's already proved that he can play first grade without dad having to do it. So I think those circumstances help. In Johnny Ling and Marty Ling's one, that was a little different because, you know, Johnny went to the Sharks and they were a struggling club before him and Richo went there, and then all of a sudden they had a really good run and he introduced Martin to first grade. But I think the way Martin competed, I think everyone knew that dad wasn't just picking his son because it was his son, because Marty Ling certainly competed in every single game he played. But yeah, so I think all the circumstances are different, and you know, Ivan getting to go back to Penrith when Nathan's already in first grade is far different for him actually introducing him to first grade, I think.
I don't think Marty ever ran at a hole. He would only run at people when you're watching him play.
I don't think he didn't do anything but run hard.
Yeah, absolutely. They seem, with Ivan and Nathan, there seems some kind of, I don't know if tranquility is the wrong word, serenity, I don't know what it is, but there's a calmness about them I think is key in a week like this.
Well, I think Nathan would obviously get that from Ivan, because the way Ivan played and Brownie played against him as well, he was just, you know, he was cool as a cucumber on the field, and he seems that way in the coach's box as well. He seems like that's how he sort of runs his life, and I think that rubs off on the players, and that's probably a really important thing for the whole team this week. You know, Ivan's demeanour is going to be such a special key to how they perform tomorrow, with, you know, not playing their game too early. I remember Johnny Lang and how calm he was in grand final week and how he just did what he felt he needed to do with the players he needed to do it with. He didn't include us all and try and make us all do the same thing that week. He let us all prepare individually, I think, given more of the amount of experience you had in certain situations. And then he just spent time with the people that he knew that he might need to spend the time with. And the fact that they didn't build it up, we didn't change anything on our game day, we went about everything exactly the same way we had done all season, allowed us to relax in that big moment. And I think, you know, Ivan will probably play a similar role for these young boys tomorrow.
That's what a lot of them have said during the week, chatting, got to sit down with a number of the Panthers players, and they all said that Ivan is just so calm, even in these bigger games. You know, it's not... he doesn't change too much. And one thing I found really interesting when I said, oh, what is it about Ivan that you've loved as a coach? And I think every single one of them used the word, he's like a father to us. They all said that. And they said he cares more about you as a person than a player. And I think Beck also mentioned the fact that when I spoke to her, she said, I think Ivan's changed a bit. And I think he's sort of found his groove as a coach and worked out what he wants to be. And he's actually opened up more, and he wasn't always like that, but he's opened himself up more to the boys, which has probably helped them in turn open up to him. And you can just see how tight they are around that group. And I mean, I know they're young and they've all come through together, but I think it helps that they've all got that relationship with Ivan.
Well, there's no better practice than, you know, having your own son the same age as most of those guys and how to deal with those guys and their situations and knowing of what they're going through at that certain time. And he certainly seems to have a really good handle on that. They love him, don't they? You can see the way they celebrate in the sheds. And if you just, you know, watch the way when it goes back into the sheds after the games and the camera's there, you know, the way that he connects with those young guys is special, and it needs to be special. And that's why they're doing what they're doing.
Just one intriguing story in amongst many that will happen tomorrow night as the Panthers take on the Melbourne Storm. A Storm legend, Glenn Lazarus, joins us next.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Great to have your company. It's always great to have the company of absolute card-carrying legends of our game. This man is just that. He was the first player to win premierships with three different clubs, including, of course, in 1999, which Brownie won't talk about, for the Melbourne Storm, where he did lift that shield aloft. I'm, of course, talking about Mr. Glenn Lazarus. Lazo, g'day.
G'day, Tony. How are you, buddy?
I'm very well, thank you. Lovely to hear your voice. Spent some nice time during the grand final last year. Obviously, then it was your Canberra shirt. You're obviously hoping for a little bit more success tomorrow evening.
Yeah, I am, mate. I'm hoping Melbourne can get over the top of the Penny Panthers, but it's going to be a massive task for them because, as we've seen all year, Penrith have been the front runners, and deservedly so. They're a very, very good side.
Lazo, Brownie, mate, how are you?
Yeah, good, son. How are you, bud?
Yeah, not too bad, mate.
Warriors going to go, mate.
I can still remember seeing you do that bloody cartwheel in 99, the blood you say.
I got sick of your blokes doing brains, backflips, and that's the best I could come up with, mate.
I couldn't do one, so I didn't try. Yeah. But anyway, hey, Lazo, you're the only player in the history of the game that's obviously gone to three separate clubs that had never won grand finals and won grand finals. What do you think you took to the club that helped? Because obviously you must have played your fair part, if that's the case.
Yeah, look, I contributed, mate. But geez, I played in some wonderful teams. I mean, you look back at the 89 Canberra side and who was playing in that, and then the 92 Broncos and the Melbourne Storm side of 99 had some good players, but they had players that were had futures, and their futures were bright as well. So, as you know, when you win anything, it's not particularly in team sports. It's just not up to individuals. It's a group effort, and from CEOs and board members, coaches, trainers, players, they all have to be on the same page. There's no doubt about it. And we saw this year when they're not on the same page, i.e. the Brisbane Broncos, how you perform. And I contributed. I thought I got them going forward, my teams forward, and helped that out and all that sort of thing. But, geez, when you're playing with the likes of Daly, Stewart, Langer, Walters, Meninga, it's very hard not to be successful if we're all on the same page, and that is wanting to win grand finals.
And any one of them out of the five, does any one of them stand out as the best, or are they all good?
Yeah, they're all wonderful. I mean, it's like asking who's your favourite child, but at the end of the day, 89 was my first ever. When I played rugby league every year from the age of five, and that was my first ever grand final I played in, and it was, it was just wonderful because of the team had so many local kids in it, Sticky and Clydie, Chrissy O'Sullivan, Laurie, just up the road from Junie and so forth. So it was, when I grew up there, that's where I'm from, and it was just wonderful to bring the trophy back to Canberra for the first time. But of course, Melbourne as well. I thought I had a bit more skin in the game with that one. I just, we were sort of the pioneers that got rugby league going in Melbourne, and we worked really, really hard for what we achieved. And it was, as I said all along, it was just absolute surprise and disbelief that we were able to win it in just 2 years. But as I said, if you get everyone on the same page, and everyone was. It took a bit of work in the first year to get everybody on the same page, having players coming from all over the country. But once we got them together, we created a culture, and we created a mantra in regards to what we were wanting to do, and obviously establish rugby league in Melbourne. But of course, we wanted to win grand finals. Everyone was on the same page, and we ended up doing it. It was and being captain of that team added a little bit more to it too. It was wonderful. It was my last game. It had a lot of historical moments in my life. That 99 grand final, but 89, I look back very fondly.
Oh, the obvious follow-up to that is, who's your favourite child?
All of them.
Hey, Lazo, we know these games tomorrow, the big ones, are one through the middle. Whose pack do you like?
I like both of them, good. I really like Penrith, I got to say. I think they've got some wonderful young forwards coming through there. A guy that I really, really have taken a shine to is Moses Leota. I just think he's... He's a guy that comes off, gives Penrith so much. He sort of goes on with it, and he takes the ball up, and I really like him. But the Penrith side have got a forward pack of a little bit more of individuality. We got you got big Kikau out on the left side there, and he does his thing and blah blah. I think Melbourne's a sort of they hunt in a pack. I think that's the difference, but. Geez, they've shown all year, and I am buoyed, I think, by the way Melbourne have played over the last couple of weeks. I just feel they've really peaked at the right time, but geez, they're going to have to play well to beat your mob.
And we were chatting a bit earlier about what's the balance between trying to soak up the week but not, you know, get too overwhelmed by it. How do you find that balance? What advice would you give to especially some of these really young boys in a Panthers side? Some of them only, what, 21, 22?
Yeah, look, I hope they've enjoyed it because not many of us get to experience grand final week. When you compare how many players played the game as opposed to playing in grand finals, I mean, it's particularly for sides outside of Sydney. And back in my day, in Gerd's era and Brownie's era, I mean, yeah, they had grand final breakfasts and everything. So, yeah, being with Canberra, Melbourne or Brisbane, we had to go down a couple of days earlier and, all that sort of thing. And, of course, everybody wants to be involved with grand final week, the fans in particular, which is, yeah, they're right too, because they support the team all year and so forth. So the sessions, the training sessions can become a little disruptive. So you just got to sort of rely, I guess, on what you've been doing all year, you know, and really enjoy it, soak it all up, you know, and just, I guess, my little bit of advice to me, I would give myself, is to make sure the first thing I did in that game, and in any game, was to make sure it was the best thing you've ever done. So if we got the ball from the kickoff, I made sure that first run was the best one I could possibly do or a tackle, because I think then you're in the game, and you just move on from there. But
and Lazar, where are you? Where will you be? Do you have to illegally cross any borders to get to the game? Where are you watching?
No, I'll be home here in Brisbane, and I'll just be sitting here watching and enjoying what's going to be a cracker of a game. I'd love to be there, but Anastasia just won't open those borders up.
Hey Lazo.
And I'm not prepared to go into isolation. They don't give you enough food, apparently.
Hey, was there an old boys beer on the other day up there in Brisbane?
Last night.
How was that?
I'm nursing a pretty sore head here at the moment. It was absolutely wonderful. We had a lunch at the Port Office Hotel there in Brisbane. Wonderful place. But we haven't been together like that for over 12 months through different reasons. But there are over 35 of us there, staff, ex-staff and all the old boys, you know, and obviously catching up. Whenever Kevin Walters and Alan Langer get together, you know you're in for a wonderful time, and they didn't disappoint me. We just had a laugh the whole time. And there was serious moments where we spoke about the fact that, you know, things have changed now at the club, and we're hoping to bring some old boys culture back into the joint and so forth. And but at the end of the day, we all had a really, really good time. I don't know whether you've seen any photos of me recently, but I'm now donning quite a long hairstyle, and the boys dubbed me Jesus. I look like Jesus. I'm pretty happy with that, actually.
All right, you could walk on water, I tell you. Glenn Lazarus, with the success you've had, obviously there'd be an old boys reunion just about every 5 minutes for you for grand final success. Mate, right. Enjoy the game tomorrow evening. Thanks so much for talking to us. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, mate, any time.
There he is, the great man himself, Glenn Lazarus, who could win a grand final.
Got a great story about Glenn Lazarus. When I was a younger coach of the Dragons, Jason Rolls was a younger front rower. Obviously, those days, Rolls, when I say younger Rolls, he might have been 21, 22, and there was a couple of parts of his game that, you know, we certainly would have liked him to work on, you know, that we thought, and I was a younger coach. So he'd be a really good person, and Laurie Daly said, mate, give Lazo a call, he'd be a good one. So I gave Glenn Lazarus a call, and I remember I didn't know Glenn Lazarus apart from him probably running over the top of me a few times. Yep. I didn't know Glenn Lazarus at all, you know. So I gave Lazo a call, said, mate, Jason Rolls wouldn't mind if you could, you know, have a bit of a look at him play and possibly come down and do some work with him and blah, 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 and we'll pay you some money and blah, blah, blah. He said, yeah, mate, no, not a problem. He goes, give me some time to watch him play. I'll watch some footage of him, watch a game or two. Then I'll work out a time, come down and sit down with him and go through some video. So he did it all, and we said, oh, well, we owe you some money, Lazo, and like hire a car. And he said, no, don't worry about it, mate. I enjoyed it. Did it for nothing.
Wow. Mm.
All the way from Brisbane off his own bat. Never wanted no fanfare and nothing, yeah. What a terrific follow. And it had a good impact on Jason Rolls as well, which was terrific.
That is sensational. Love it. We've got a grand final quiz coming up. Still plenty here. We're also going to speak with Roy Simmons. All ahead. This is the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
The Triple M. Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Love to have your company, and time to do a little bit of this.
Ladies and gentlemen,
three in five.
I love Tony Sessions. I love the three in five.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12.
Three in five.
Yeah, it is grand final.
Just the final three and five for the year, Tone?
Yeah, it is.
We have a show tomorrow, though.
You should make something
though.
A little bit more special.
Will we do it tomorrow? Yeah, will we do it tomorrow?
I don't think we can
ask Tony to put, you know, two of these together in one week.
One of these things takes them about 17, 18 hours to put together. It seems like it's simple when you hear it, but just the amount of work that goes into it. I'm not sure
it's going to make it back next year, Tony, to be honest.
Well, what have you heard?
Well, you basically changed the format halfway through the season.
What's Peter Vlad has done with the rules of the game?
Or is it a quiz? What is it today?
What's a quiz of sorts? Okay. Both ways, they're right. Quizzes. I'm asking questions.
Not really.
And I'm asking you to deliver answers.
One's three and five, and there's a time limit. The other one's just a quiz.
Well, it wasn't a time limit last time. We
I'm just stating the facts, Tony.
I'm really getting peeved.
I'll miss it next year, Tony. I won't be a part of it. I'll be working in New Zealand. I'm going to really miss it. So I might even try and tune in and listen.
Would you? Okay. Can we just call you just for the three and five section?
100%.
That would be good. All right. So I've decided to go a grand final themed quiz. Very simple. Just what you know about grand finals. Can you test your buzzers for me, please?
Good.
Brownie.
Well done, Em. You waited until the last one of the year. Oh. That's really good. It's got to be that exact tone, though, okay? All right, question one. Who won the first premiership deciding game?
That's a good question. Mm,
the first ever premiership deciding game back in 1908.
I'm going to go.
Yes, Em?
East.
The Titans.
East.
It wasn't East. Thank you. That's nice. It was actually South Sydney beat East 14 points to 12. It's where the feud absolutely began. Russell Crowe bought the bell that rang at the first game in 1908. Who rang it at the start of the 2014?
Brownie.
Yes, Brownie.
2014.
2014 grand final between South Sydney.
Bruce Churchill?
No, it was Bobby McCarthy. Les Johns was standing next to him, but he just didn't get a look in. What is the name of the picture the Proven Summers Premiership Trophy is modelled on?
That's another good one.
I know, they're great questions. Yeah, they're really good questions. The answers, on the other hand, have been...
The name of the picture.
The name of the picture of Norm Proven and Arthur Summers.
I know it, I just can't think of it.
I'm sorry, that doesn't get you any points. The Gladiators.
That's it.
Question four. We have had no correct answers so far. This is something of a record. You three really know your grand finals. When did the grand final move to ANZ Stadium?
Brownie.
Yes, Brownie.
Gerds.
Nine.
Gerds. Brownie, you should know this personally.
1999.
Correct, it was. Who sang the national anthem that day?
No idea.
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh did.
Speaking of entertainment, Amy Shark obviously is going to perform at the grand final. Do we have some music here? Have a listen to this. Who is it?
Jimmy Barnes?
Yeah, Cole Chisel? Cole Chisel at the 2015 grand final, one of the best. After arriving on a hovercraft, who said, "Just waiting for some power"?
Gerds.
Yes, Gerds.
Guy with blonde hair, Billy Idol.
Billy Idol is correct. Cameron Smith hasn't won a Clive Churchill medal. Which players have won it twice?
Gerds.
Brownie.
Yes.
I think I get it.
I think Billy, is there a time limit on this?
No.
I don't think there is.
But the build's tension, I like it. Yeah.
Okay. So Billy Slater's won it a couple of times?
Yes,
if
he has.
Remember correctly?
Yep.
Who else would have won it a couple of times? Maybe Andrew Johns?
No.
Brad Clyde?
Yes, Brad Clyde. You share the points there. Jared Sutton referees alone tomorrow. Who is the last referee to do the job solo?
Gerds.
Yes, Gerds.
The great man, Billy Harrigan?
Incorrect. 2008. It was Tony Archer. How many grand finals finished in a draw? Yes, Emma. Welcome to the game.
Just a guess. Three.
Wow. Look, I'll give you that. Two were actually a draw. St. George and Parramatta 77 and Manly Cronulla 78. But there was Golden Point.
That's
Cowboys.
Same thing. Yeah,
the
yeah.
game didn't
well
finish
done.
In a draw. But yeah. Yeah. Who has won the most premierships?
Brownie.
Yes, Brownie.
Norm Proven. St. George.
Correct. And because it's St. George. And the most consecutive.
Brownie.
Yes,
Dragons.
Brownie. Dragons with 11. Right. There you go.
I'll go out with a bang.
A bit of glory. I'm going to. Nathan Brown, you are the winner on the day. Still stick around. Royce Simmons, join us. We'll dig deeper into this grand final. The Panthers taking on the Storm.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.